or comments. I assume for most of you this is the first Shemitah you're experiencing. Is that right? No? When you were in Israel, most of you, it was like, it wasn't the Shemitah. This is like, so maybe some of you experienced Shemitah, others didn't. Living in Chutz Laaretz, obviously Shemitah is not on your radar. So I was asked to give a general overview about Shemitah. Shemitah is part of one of the category of mitzvot called mitzvot hatliyot ba'aretz, as opposed to chavat haguf, which we perform also in Chutz Laaretz. So mitzvot are connected to the land. You have to be in the land. So that's why we don't keep Shemitah in Chutz Laaretz. So what do we need to keep Shemitah? First requirement? We need a land. What type of land do you need? Good. Eretz Yisrael, and just the like geographical location, or is it something special about Eretz Yisrael? What's special about Eretz Yisrael? Sovereignty, possibly. Sovereignty might be a simon of something else. Pardon? Yovel, Shechina, good. Okay. So, Kedusha, that's what I was looking for, but they're all correct. It could be that sovereignty gives you the Kedusha. So we know that Eretz Yisrael is promised to the Avos, and then Yeshua came and conquered it, Kibush Yeshua, which is probably Kedusha Rishona, and then they went to Golis, unfortunately, Churban Abayis, Tisha B'Av, we're all familiar. And then they came back, Kedusha Shnia, Ezra, and they went to Golis again. And now, thank God, Chas Yashem, we're coming back, we don't know exactly, yes Gula, no Gula, but we're here, we're proud, we're happy, we're grateful to Hashem Baruch Hu for this opportunity. But there is a question, is the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael a function of the geographical location, or is it a function of what?
The people.
So, Kedusha Rishona, Kitcher L'Shaita, V'lo Kitcher L'Asi Lava. We went to Golus. What happened to the Kedusha? Gone. That's a debate in the Gemara. We actually split the sack between Yerushalayim and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. We assume that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Rambam Paskins, remains forever. Even during the time of Golus, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains. Yerushalayim is a function of what? Shechina. Whereas the Kedusha Sa'aretz is a function of Kibush. We conquered the land in time of Yeshua, and we lost the war, meaning the Korban Abayis. So the Kedusha was Paka. The Kedusha dissipated. That's part of what Tisha is about, feeling the Golus of Kedusha from Eretz Yisrael. Then we came back, V'chaste Hashem, in time of Ezra. Who came back? Pardon? A small minority. Where do people prefer to stay? Tinek. No. Some people, nothing personal. Many people prefer to stay in Golis. So that actually had halachic significance to it. Namely, the Gemara tells us, as mentioned before, people being there creates the Kedusha. So because not all of Am Yisrael came back, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in the Second Commonwealth, the Kedusha Shnia, was not on the highest level. It might not have been Doraisa, only Drabanan. So that's very significant. So it's still Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you live in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Aretz, even time of Golis, Yishuv Aretz, the might of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. People spend a lot of money, they want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Avos, promised Am Yisrael. There's this inherent Kedusha. The Briskers call it the Shem Eretz Yisrael. Shem Eretz Yisrel, it's the land of Israel. But the Kedusha Aretz, the nuts and bolts, the Kedusha of the land might be a function of people living here, and in time of the Second Commonwealth of Ezra, not everybody came back, and therefore the Kedusha Aretz is only Dirabanan. That's how we paskin the halacha. Some people assume that after the Golos of the Second Base of Mikdash, the Kedusha was Paka again. We don't assume that way. We assume that the Kedusha, even though after the first Golos, Korban Bais Rishon, the Kedusha was Paka, after the Kedusha Bais Shnia, was a different type of Kedusha. It wasn't because of Kibush, it was because of Chazaka, a different mechanism. Ezra is Mekadosh in a different way, and therefore the Kedusha remained. So Eretz Yisrael remains. We have Eretz Yisrael, but we have Eretz Yisrael on a lower level of Kedusha, and that's significant. Why is that significant? What's a very important principle we have in Halacha? Safek Doraisa L'chomra, and Safek Derabanan L'kula. So Shemitah B'zman is this, Derabanan, that's what we assume, the Halacha, most supposed to be assumed that way, most we've shown him. There are people who hold that there is no Shemitah anymore because the Kedusha was totally batel, the Sefer Truma. There are people who assume that Kedusha is Doraisa and it exists Doraisa today, but that's not the mainstream approach. Mainstream approach is that Shemitah does apply, but it applies only Midrabanan. And because it's Derabanan, it's more Kal, and therefore there are certain leniencies that we can take if necessary. Now, question?
Were you saying that Kedusha, like, bubble
Kedushas Oleg Bavel is Derabbanan. Yeah, that's my understanding. Again, like I said from the onset, I'm not giving like an Ian Shear here with Mustafa Makaros. I'm just kind of going through the overview as I was asked to do. So you could be making a mistake and catch me. I'm happy to talk about it later. But that's my recollection, is that if I remember correctly, Kedushas Oleg Bavel is only Derabbanan, because not everybody came back. Which, like I said, has interesting hashkafic ramifications for today. What happens when you have an opportunity and you don't seize that opportunity? That's not for now. I should have mentioned, additionally, when they came back in time of Ezra, they didn't conquer the entire Eretz Yisrael. They only conquered a small portion because less people came, so there was less a need. And that also has the Kedusha is only Drabanan, and it's in a lower scale in terms of the areas, meaning, you know, above Akko, let's say. There's a whole question of what the Gvulos Haaretz are. Learning Gita next year in the Yeshiva, so the first Daf Gittin has a whole discussion there, and the Gvulos Haaretz, the Gavei Gittin. So we don't know exactly where Ezra was Kovesh, or really was Machzik. So we don't, it's a big suffix, but there's certain areas that are, we'll get to see soon, that are certainly not included in Ezra's Kedusha. Now, so we need Eretz Yisrael to have Shemitah. What else do we need? When is Shemitah?
Every
7 years. How do you count?
The calendar.
A calendar. From when? When do you start counting from?
The
structure based on Mikdash, okay, possibly. What are there other possibilities?
Because we count the year of Yovel counts.
It's another question. It's every 7 years. What's every 50 years?
Yovel.
Does Yovel count towards the 7 years? Do you count 49 and then 50 like doesn't count and then we start again? Or is 50 already the first year of the next cycle? That's a machlokas tanaim. So there's one machlokas tanaim in terms of Rav Yehuda Chachamim, whether or not Yovel counts or Yovel doesn't count. And the second question is, what happened at the Churban? Did we stop counting? Did we continue counting? These are big debates in the Gaonim and the Rishonim. And there's actually a machlokas lamaisa, when is Shemitah? So we have a certain Masorah from the Gaonim. The Rambam writes that he thinks Shemitah should be X, but we should follow the Gaonim. Even though he thinks X, he defers his opinion to the opinion of the Gaonim. There are like three opinions when Shemitah should be out of seven. So somebody will come and say, and somebody did, they tried to say this, well, listen, Shemitah is a really hard mitzvah. It's Drabanan. We're not sure when it is, so what should we do?
Just don't do it.
So that's not true. That's not true. The Ran already asked that question. The Gemara discusses in a few places by Drabanans, for example, in Pesachim, that four kosos and the seder, so we lean. When do we lean?
All four.
We lean for all four. What does the Gemara say?
First two, last two.
Right, so first two, last two. So the Rambam says, I don't understand. We're not sure when to lean. Leaning is only Drabanan. So let's not do it. So he says, no. You can't say something Drabanan if we're going to vatel mitzvah totally. So to here, if we say something Drabanan, we wouldn't have Shemitah at all. So we have Masorah, we follow the tradition of the Gaonim, that Shemitah should be this year. But again, that adds to the suffix, you know, if in terms of, theoretically at least, in terms of how chumra this is. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Either way, we have a mitzvah midrabanan of Shemitah b'zman hazeh, and we fulfill it in Eretz Yisrael, where Ezra was machzik, and we follow the Masorah of the Gaonim in terms of calculating the years of Shemitah, even though there's a big debate about what year it should be. Now, even if we had Kedushas Aretz on a Dreisa level, as mentioned before, we don't have Yovel. And the Rebbe holds that there's a connection between Shemitah's Ksafim and Shemitah's Karkos. Shemitah's Ksafim is coming up. At the end of Shemitah, the end of the Shemitah year, we have to forgive all loans. And therefore, we're going to write a prusbul, which is some type of mechanism that allows us to keep on holding on to our loans. Question?
Sorry, when you say the Rebbe, the Rebbe or Salvechik?
Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi.
Rav Yehuda Nasi.
Rav Yehuda Nasi, he's
the
author of Mishnah.
You said the Rebbe.
I apologize. Okay, yeah. You see, the Rav, you know, if you're in YU program, the Rav is Rav Salvechik,
yes.
And Eretz Yisrael, I took my kids, the Harav, so Harav is, you know, Rav Cook. So you have to always be precise. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. 100%. Rav Yehuda Nasi, the author of the Mishnah, assumes there's a hekesh between Yovel and between Shemitah's Ksafim and Shemitah's Karkaos. And just like Shemitah's Ksafim only works between Drabanan and Zanezek, because there's no Yovel, so too Shemitah's Karkaos. So basically, it's Drabanan on many levels, many accounts. But of course, we're a bin of Jews. We follow I have a friend who was working on Wall Street, and his boss was secular, a secular Jew, and he wanted to take off Yom Tov Sheni. And his boss showed him, like it says over here in the Torah, you know, it's like one day of Pesach. What are you taking? 2 days of Pesach. What are you talking about? Yeah. So he said, no, we're Rabbinic Jews. We follow, you know, Yom Tov Sheni, Shavuos. So we follow Drabbanans. We think Drabbanans are important. At the same time, like I said, it does give us a certain amount of leeway. Now, Lamaisa, there are a lot of options in terms of what to do. Once upon a time, people weren't as, spoiled, I don't know, for lack of a better word. So if it wasn't, you know, carrots, you'd eat cucumbers. But today, people like feel like want to have shmita, should be like, we want to go to a fully stocked supermarket and get everything. So the idea of just like whatever grows, we'll eat, it doesn't really work for most people. So the question is, what do you do during Shemitah? What do you choose to purchase in the supermarket? So there are other options. I mentioned before that Ezra wasn't machzik all of Eretz Yisrael. And even if he was, Medinat Yisrael is, in the southern side part of it, is much greater than Eretz Yisrael, meaning Eilat, what they call the Arava Dromit. If you have a, you want to draw a map over here? Basically, it's like a triangle. The whole southern part of Eretz Yisrael is a triangle. So, till like Yam HaMelech is basically called the Arava. You know, a little bit under Yam HaMelech is the Arava Tzvonit, the northern Arava. And then the below, I don't know, Mitzper Amon maybe, is Arava Dromit, the southern Arava. So, the Arava Dromit, everybody seems to agree, is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So there are people, farmers, who work in those, you know, parts. So that those areas are chutzlar. So a person wants to avoid the whole issue. What do? You get your carrots from England, and you get your apples from America, and you can even get things from, if you want to make a little line there, yeah, perfect. That's the Ravad Dro meat. Now, from the bottom of Yom Melech, like 2 inches above it, straight across, that is straight across the other way, right, to like, say, Gaza, that would be the Arava. Tzvonit. There's a lot of agriculture there. One line below that, meaning the bottom triangle is the Arava Dromit, and that line is Arava Dromit. Perfect. So that's a big machloket. What's the status Arava? So the Arava Tzvonit is the one in between the two. Perfect. Thank you. So you ask the Bedats. Bedats Eich Haredi is pretty machmir generally. They're totally mekel. So you get fruits and vegetables from that area. That's not part of Israel, halachically speaking, for Shemitah. If you go to, I don't know, the Vedats of Rav Efrati, Talmud of Eliashiv, no, that's not good. So for Shemitah, I was at a local store here, a big sign, the Vedats took off their Ashkacha. So like, ooh, they took off their Ashkacha. Like, what's going on here? So I inquired, is it a... The Vedats wasn't good enough because, you know, people in Bayit Hagan want to have, you know, super chumras. So they don't hold the Vedat in Shemitah. Vedats means Eid HaRedis. They only hold the Verafrati. So one option is the Chutzlaretz. Like I said, Chutzlaretz, you know, the advantage is you basically avoid the issue. Chutzlaretz might be Mamish Chutzlaretz. You get things from America, it's in Europe. Or it means part of Eretz Yisrael or part of Medinat Yisrael doesn't have Kedushat HaAretz. And there's like a big debate in terms of the Aravat Tzvonit aspect. That's one option. Yes.
Is there any downside in getting carrots that are radical?
The downside is that you're boycotting the Jewish agriculture in this country. So, you know, in many areas of kashrus, you know, you have kosher meat, you have not kosher meat. It costs a little more money, but, like, there's no downside. It could be if you're trying to run yeshiva and you can't afford it, so you got to close yeshiva because you have super modern meat, then I can hear some. But usually, for a regular person, it's not a big mysterious nefesh to get the extra, go the extra mile and try to, especially if you have guests, you want to feel comfortable. It's always it's a hinder. We believe, many people believe, that going the extra mile is it shows that you love a Kosh Baruch Hu, you want to do the mitzvahs in the best possible way. So that's certainly a nice thing to do. When it comes to Shemitah, it's a little more complicated because there are a lot of conflicting values. So chutzlars is certainly a halachically cogent option. The downside, as I just mentioned, is that you're basically boycotting the Jewish agriculture of the areas that are within, you know, Kedushat HaAretz. Obviously, the people down south are really excited because they have a lot more business. But the people who live in other parts of Medinat Yisrael are more frustrated if you want to buy their produce. The second option is known as Otsar Beitin. Otsar Beitin is a halacha found in Tosefta. It's not found in the Gemara, it's not found in the Ram, it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's found in the Tosefta. Tosefta is like the, during when Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, codified the Mishnah, so he didn't put everything in, and there, again, it's Machalka is earlier or later, but there's the other Braitot, that are the Sefta outside Braitot, and they're quoted sometimes in the Gemara. So in Tosefta, Masechet Shviit, the Tosefta brings down that people aren't going to go, they want to pick a orange, so they don't live in an orange grove, so what do? So the Beit Din gets together, and they hire people to go pick the oranges and to bring them to the city. And then you pay. What do you pay? You're not allowed to do schora. You can't purchase perot shvit. But you pay the person for his time and effort going to pick the orange. So somebody had an idea. Chaznish signed off to this. Even though, like I said, it's not mentioned in the Gemara or in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, so some people were very against this. They thought this Tosefta isn't the halacha. The Rabban quotes it Tosefta. The Rabban and Chumash quotes it. And, the Hilchas Shmita wasn't studied for 2,000 years, pretty much, because it wasn't Lamaisa. Just like the Dinei Milchama weren't studied. Thank God, we have a Medina, and we came back to Eretz Yisrael. So all these issues came up. So about 150 years ago, these issues started coming up. So Chaznish, one of the greatest poskim 20th century, thought the Otzer Beit Din is a great option. And the way it was done in the times of Sefta is that they would just pay somebody to go bring it. Today, you go walk into a Mahadran supermarket with Rav Fadi's Hechsher, Osher Ad, I think is called the name of the supermarket that's very popular. A lot of American products, Kirkland, people like Costco, so it's like the same company or something. So you walk into Osher Ad, and you'll see now fruits that are Otzer Beit Din. They're Kedushat Shviit. That means you have to eat them with Kedusha. If you finish a half an apple, you wrap it up and you either wait till it spoils, or some are make it to just double wrap it and throw it out. So that is Kedusha. You're not supposed to buy it. So how do you buy it? So I said, you don't, when you go to the cash to checkout, you don't pay for the nectarines. What do you pay for? The tircha that the farmer had to bring it to you. Now, they don't make a shliach beit din. They make the farmers a shliach beit din, so it's a little bit of like a joke, because every year he brings his nectarines, he sells them. This year he also brings his nectarines and sells them. But he's not selling nectarines. You're just paying him for what? For his labor. Now, so some people say, wait, this whole thing's a haram, and this whole thing is ridiculous. It doesn't work. It's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Don't do it. But Lamaisa, Chaznish signed off on it, so even in the most Haredi circles, many people aren't it. Many people aren't. You know, if you look at the Vedats, for example, the Haredis, they don't want this, because especially if we're dealing with catering, you have to deal with the Sharia, the leftover, and you have to dispose of it properly. The only time everybody relies on it is Sukkot. This coming Sukkot, you want to buy an Esrog. So where are you going to buy an Esrog from? Only Jews grow esrogs. No Arabs grow esrogs. So what do you do? So all the esrog growers become shluchei beit din, and they sell esrogim. They sell them in closed boxes, so you don't see what it looks like. But what do? They have different standards. They have the nice box and the mahadrin, the kosher, barely kosher, and this is 40 shekel, 50 shekel, 60 shekel. Now some folks were very against. They said, "What do you mean? The minute you start selling the Meiser Esrogim for more money, you're basically selling the produce." So they say, no, they tighten it up, that really you're paying for the work. It's just to look at a nice Esrog. It takes a few minutes to see if it's really nice. So the not nice one, you can say it's kosher. Okay, it takes 30 seconds to say it's kosher. Say it's Mahadrin, you have to look at it for 2 minutes. Okay, I don't know if that's really true. I'm not expert an Esrog seller, but it seems like a bit of a dochak interpretation, but that's what they do. So everybody relies on when it comes to Esrogim. You're stuck. You have to buy an Esrog. You can go to Chusar, you can get a Yanavar Esrog, you can get a Moroccan Esrog. There are people who do that, but it's not the Minhag Olam. When it comes to fruits, so like I said, in the Litvish world, they follow Rav Afrati, Rav Eliashiv signed off on this, Rav Chaznish. They say Rav Shlomo Zalman was a little bit mystopic about this, how this whole thing works. It seems like it was a big harama, but it seems like that's the Minhag already, fast, 20, 30 years. People are involved in Otzer Beit Din. The caterers hate it, because the caterers don't have to deal with the Sharia. They don't have to, if you're in a private home, so if you have half an apple, you deal with it. But if I'm running a catering business, how much food is thrown out all the time? To have to have them wrap everything up and double wrap it and wait till it gets moldy, it's a pain in the neck. So the caterers don't do it, and I don't think there are any hashgachas who give it on catering. So that's the second option. Now that option is very good for fruits, because fruits grow on their own. Vegetables, how do they grow? Farmers here. I remember when we ran the program, so we went to this really cool place. Are they going to go this summer? And they're going to learn about how the science and agriculture. Whatever it is. Anyway, I think it's more on the science end, the less on the halacha end. But whatever. You have to speak to Dr. Zabazovsky. So what do you do with vegetables? How do you get vegetables? You don't pick them from the tree. What do you do with them?
You have to plant them.
You have to plant them. And to plant on Shavuos is usur. You can't plant. So the cucumbers and tomatoes that grew till Hanukkah, let's say, no problem. They planted them when?
Before Rosh Hashanah.
But since Hanukkah, things haven't been growing. And even if they grow on their own, there's a special gzeirah called Svichin, which says that Chazal were afraid that you're going to say it grew on its own, but really planted it. So you shouldn't eat any vegetables that grow even on their own. So Chazal made that gzeirah of Svichin, which makes it even more challenging. So it doesn't really help in terms of vegetables, but it helps in terms of fruit. Vegetables for the first few months, it helps. Now, in terms of vegetables, what do? So there's something called a matzah menutak. Here in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of frum Jews, and frum Jews don't want to eat bugs, so they grow lettuce and they grow things in hothouses. So somebody had this clever idea: let's put at the bottom of the hothouse some like plastic mats, and we'll be growing inside our home. And we assume halacha that if you, the Isra of Shavuos applies to the sadeh, it doesn't apply to what you grow in your house. So they thought that we'll make hothouses and we'll grow tomatoes and cucumbers, not only lettuce, the things that are buggy, but even things that don't need the whole other years to be grown indoors. We'll grow them indoors. So that's what they do. There's a law, it's called Mansam and Utak. It's not connected to the ground. There is a lot of that going on as well. Another option is called Yivul Nochri, and that is also a subject of debate. If a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, so what is the size of that land? It's Eretz Yisrael, but it's owned by a non-Jew. So does the kinyan, the ownership of the non-Jew, take away the Kedusha? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, Yesh Kinyan La'akum Afkia Midei Kedushas Aretz. And we assume it does. I mean, it's actually a big debate, L'halacha. So either way, even if it has Kedusha, still, you're allowed to buy it. It wasn't grown by Isser. The guy who planted the cucumbers is allowed to plant cucumbers. So whether or not there's Kedusha in the cucumbers, a machloket, in Bnei Brak they assume it has Kedusha, in Yerushalayim they assume there's no Kedusha. I think the Minhag Olam is assume there's no Kedusha. Most places, the Vedats, Eir Chavedis, there's no Kedusha. But that's a big debate. One of the points of tension between Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim in terms of Pesach, the Chazon Ish felt there was Kedusha. Rav Kook also thought there was Kedusha. Rav Kook, we'll get to that soon. But Yivul Nochri certainly can be consumed. It can be, the goyim could plant, and the goyim could sell it to us. We're allowed to buy it, and then we're allowed to eat it. Now, what's the downside to Yivul Nochri?
You're supporting the
Nochri. Now, again, it probably depends on your political view. Some think it's great to support the Nochrim. Support the Nochrim, they won't want to kill us. They won't be poor. They won't, you know, people who are poor are going to become terrorists. If they're not poor, they won't. So there's certainly legitimacy in that argument. But many people have the opposite approach, and they say, listen, how can you boycott the Jews? Okay, supporting the Nochrim is one thing, although not everybody even agrees to that. Some people won't want to support them at all. But even if you, you know, there's a din, v'chi kano, v'chi, suppose, mimkar, b'yad v'secha. You're supposed to, if you have a chance to buy something from a Jew or from a guy, so the halacha is that if it's the same price, you're supposed to buy from a Jew to support, you know, your not just your neighbor, but your brother, your sister. So many people feel that it's more appropriate to support Jewish agriculture, and therefore we shouldn't try to buy non-Jewish agriculture. We shouldn't buy goyish produce because of this concern. Now, most of the Bedatzes, we call Mahadrins, like, you know, the Bedatz of the Eidah Haredis, or of Machpud, or of Rubin, they just go with Yivul Nochri. That's the easiest thing. They do some Chutzlaretz, and some Yivul Nochri, and some Matzah Menutak. What they don't do is Otzer Bezdin, usually, because, again, Rav Rafati does, but most of them don't do Otzer Bezdin. And what they certainly don't do is Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira is a Heter that was... It's actually mentioned by an Achron about 400 years ago, who lived in Hebron, the Tzror Hamor, I think his name was, or not, I forget the exact name. But it is mentioned by one of the earlier Achronim, but about 150 years ago, it became much more popular, the Yishuv was starting, there was no history, it was really Mamish Nisim and Niflos, people would come here, malaria, Mamish Asiris Nefesh, and they were trying to make a living. And they sent to the Rabbanim in Europe, asking what to do during Shemitah, and a number of very chashuv rabbanim signed off on this heter mechira. Rav Yitzchak Chachan Spector, our yeshiva is named after, and Rav Yishuv Mikotna, Yishuv Malko, and others. This is even before of Cook. This is like a few Shemitahs before of Cook. Rav Cook is known as like the Baal Heter Mechira, but really he didn't just think of it. He just applied it a few 14 years later, when it was the second, I think it was 14 or 21 years later, when the issue came to his desk when he was the Rav in Yafo. But in any case, the basic way the Heter works is just like we have Mechiras Chametz, people have Chametz. Allah is, you shouldn't have Chametz at Pesach. What do you do? Sell it to a guy, it's not your Chametz. Just like there's Isser of Ribbis, you want to take a loan, so nobody's going to give you a free loan. I mean, maybe a few people will, but most people won't give a free loan. So what do? You write a Heter Iska. You go to any bank in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Heter Iska. You want to buy a home, so you take out a mortgage. How do you take a mortgage? You get a Heter Iska. So too, there's a Heter Mechira. Now this is a little bit of more of a Chiddush. On one hand, it's less of a Chiddush, because Ribbis is Doraisa, B'Zonazah. And Chametz is Doraisa, so we're only dealing with the Drabbana. At the same time, the question of Gemiras Das is an important question, meaning, if you go to Osem, and like after Pesach, the guy says, listen, buddy, I'm not selling you back your Chametz. It's all mine. I'll pay you for it. So what's the guy of Osem going to say? That's his business. He sells Chametz. So, okay, in my house, I have a box of Cheerios. So, I mean, it'll be annoying, but like, whatever. I'll basically say, great. If he gives me a fair price for my bottle of whiskey, great. So, there is full Gemiras Das. Now, it's not clear if the Goy has Gemiras Das, because the Goy isn't really interested in your whiskey, I'm saying. But, okay. So, either way, we assume it works. Then the many people are machmir not to sell their chametz. They don't sell chametz gomer. Right? If you're a store owner, your stock is chasat chak. But many people in their own private homes don't sell chametz gomer. But many people do. They're certainly different minhagim. In terms of heter iska, most people, unless you're independently wealthy, how are you going to buy a home? You're going to take out a 4 million shekel, give it to the owner of the house. You have to take out a mortgage. So okay, it could be it's only drabanan because it's not cash. It's only checks, shtaros. There are different ways of explaining it. But the way we rely on heter iska, we rely on a heter mechiras chametz. So these poskim said, let's rely on the heter. I'll sell the land to a guy. Ooh, selling land to a guy, is that permissible? You have to sell land in Israel to a guy?
No.
Why not? Losachonim. So they had a clever chop. Maybe I'll sell it for Lizman. I'll sell it for a year. I'll sell it for 2 years. I won't sell it forever. And maybe I'll sell it not to Oveda Varazara. Maybe the Israel was only to give a Chaniya Bakarka to a person who's going to influence us detrimentally, Oveda Varazara. So you sell it to a Muslim. He believes in God. We believe in God. We're cousins. It's all good. So the minhag is to sell it to a Muslim who keeps Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, and to sell it to Lizman for only for 2 years. And the Iver of Cook then said, don't have the Jews do the malacha. Have Goyim do the malacha, which anyway today, most of the Jews sit behind the desk and the Thailandi workers are the ones actually plowing the fields. So it's not really an issue. But he said you should be avoid the actual malacha in it. And then Rav Kook actually held, like the Chazon Ish, like the Ma'avit, that there's Kedusha for Yivul Nochri. So basically, Heter Mechira is basically turning everything into Yivul Nochri. All of the Datsas is used with Yivul Nochri. The Heter Mechira is essentially saying everything is Yivul Nochri, because we're going to sell land to a Goy, and it becomes Yivul Nochri. Now, what's the downside? So first of all, there's a question of the Gemiras Das. If the Jew, if after Shemitah, the guy says, I'm keeping the land, you know, he has like, you know, a cousin in Dubai, and he said, I'm going to pay full price. All the land is mine. So they're not going to go for it. And now, okay, they do it with Lizman. That's how they get out of it. There's a debate about this. Some people think it's a great idea. Some people are against it. There's also a lot of politics. Unfortunately, there's a lot of politics in the Israel itself. Those who are here for the first time, you'll unfortunately look what's going on in the Knesset now. I'm saying it's not pretty. So the Heter Mechira was like perceived as like a Zionist. It was. I mean, we're trying to build the country, which I think is a great thing. There's some people think that's a dangerous thing, because if you're Zionist, that means you're secular, and that means, you know, you're going to influence us. So a lot of people are against the Heter Mechira for hashkafic reasons, not just for halachic reasons. From a purely halachic perspective, it's on a drabanan. So it's a haram on a drabanan. It seems to be like a pretty normal heter, pretty glad heter. This is a YU program, so I'll let you know that Rav Schachter thinks it's a great thing. He says Heter Mechira is much better than Yivul Nochri. You ask people here in Eretz Yisrael, I think he spoke here during Kerem Yavna, And they said, oh, he's from Chutzlars. He doesn't understand. Like, you know, because he understands. He just doesn't understand the politics. So there are problems with the Mechira. There are problems, I have to tell you. One of the main problems is that who has to sell the land? Who sells the land? Who sells it? The owner. The farmer isn't always the owner. A lot of land in Eretz Yisrael isn't owned by the farmers. The farmers rent the fields. Now, who owns the land? If it was a government, it wouldn't be a problem. Sometimes it's somebody sitting in a Beit Avot somewhere, like a 90-year-old guy, and he's sitting there, and his children have a collection agency who is renting it out to somebody, and they collect. So who signs the piece of paper? So the Rabbanut gives the paper to the farmers. He says, listen, if it's your land, sign it. If it's not, make the owner sign it. The Rabbanut isn't able to hire lawyers to go to every single farmer to make sure, track down the actual owner to make sure that the real person signed it. So it's not always done properly. Meaning they're basically relying on the farmers to track down the owner. Sometimes it's pretty straightforward, meaning if he knows who the owner is, he signs it. Shalom Yisrael. Sometimes it's more complicated. Now, how often does it go awry? Not so clear, but it certainly, as a percentage of the time, the real owner isn't the person signing it, and that might pose a serious problem. There is a question, Michal, when it comes to halachic mechiras, how careful do we have to be that we follow every single, dot every, what do you dot, an I, and cross every T, meaning the person has a moshav shitufi, you're in a moshav. So to sell land in a moshav, even if you own the land, you can't sell it until you have permission from the maskir, because everybody owns everything. So like, if you have a heter mechira and you're a moshav, so do you have to like get permission from you make a asifa klalit, make a meeting and have everybody sign everything, or you say, listen, it's enough. Just like, I don't know if you ever look at a shahr of Mechiras Chametz. It says there, in the fine print, you're selling your stocks. You own stocks in OSEM. So, are you actually legally, or do you have to like pay a fee, or pay taxes? Like, the whole question when you do Mechira that's halachic, does it have to actually be a pidin and machus? Does it have to actually be, nuts and bolts? There was a tshuva chsav sefer, if I'm mistaken, where people came to him and they came to the government, they said the Jews are not paying the tax because they do Mechiras Chametz and they don't pay the tax. So chsav sefer says, this is just a religious thing. It doesn't have to actually be binding based on Dina Machusa. And that's the question, to what extent do you have to be binding the Dina Machusa? Certainly the owner has to be the one signing it, Lachar, I would assume. Question? Yeah, sorry. So we assume here in Yerushalayim that Yevul Nochri has no Kedusha. Heter Mechira is like Yevul Nochri, there's no Kedusha. The Rav Kook himself thought that you should deal with Heter Mechira with Kedusha, because he held like the Mabit against the Beis Yosef, and that's why they hold him in Bnei Brak. In Bnei Brak they won't eat Heter Mechira, but they'll take all the Yevul Nochri and they'll put the leftovers in a bag and wait till it spoils, because they hold the Kedusha, even though the Goy was allowed to plant because he's a Goy, but the Kedusha still remains, and you still have to eat it with Kedusha. Just to summarize, we have a number of options in front of us in terms of what we're going to purchase. If you go to a store here in Yerushalayim, so there are different types of tudot. It's always good to make sure the tudah is betokaf, that it's actually betokaf? Current. Thank you. And there's usually a phone number on the tudah, so you can always call the mashgiach just to make sure. Some of the tudot say shmita l'chumra, Yevul Nochri, or Chutz Laretz, and that is what's known as Mahadrin. Other tudot say Heter Mechira, and that's relying on the Heter Mechira. That's usually considered a lower standard, but like I said, it's a big debate. There are many people in the Sunni world who tell you that the Heter Mechira is better than Yevul Nochri. What do you mean you're Mahadir? So when it comes to other areas of Halacha, what Chumrah is very clear, what's Akul is very clear. Here it's a little bit more complicated, and I'm sorry that it's that way, but here in the Yeshiva we'll be serving Yevul Nochri for the most part. The Hashkacha is Rav Machpur. There's no Kedusha. I think one Shemitah ago or two Shemitahs ago we had Hotzer Best in food. It didn't really work out for various reasons. So now the caterer that they're using is Rav Machpur. So everything is Yevul Nochri or Chutz Laretz. And like I said, Minhag Yerushalayim is not to deal with Kedusha, so you can throw out whatever's left without any issues. If you're going out to a restaurant, so you have to figure out for yourself, you can ask your Rabbanim what your standards are. they're all, I think, legitimate opinions in my humble, non-authoritative opinion. Rosh Lobozaman has an interesting ha'ara. He wrote a whole sefer, Madanei Aretz, on Hilchas Shemitah, and he writes there that we have principle, Safek Rabbanan Lekula. So he says that even if you are convinced that the Hetter Mechir doesn't work, if somebody's coming to ask you, you can't tell them it's no good. Because you can tell, I think it's no good, but you have to tell them that the Rabbanim would think it's good and Safek Rabbanan Lekula. So like the default would be that the Hetter Mechir works and the Hetter Mechir is a legitimate option. First of all, it's the Machmir, so they're certainly welcome to the Machmir. And then the question becomes, what do you do when you go to your cousin's house and your uncle's house and they're serving it to you, and do you make a big deal or not? And there are different approaches to this. Everybody has to find their own Rabbanim, figure out for themselves what makes sense. There are some people who won't eat Hetter Mechir under Shum Panim Ofen, they think it's treif. And they'll tell you that if they're being served, so just like they're serving you chazer, you can't say, I can't eat it. But there are many other rabbanim who disagree, and in my humble opinion, that if somebody's serving it to you, I don't think you should not eat it. What you want to buy in your own kitchen, I guess, I don't know if you have kitchens here, but what you want to buy when you go out to eat in a makolet or in a restaurant, that's something that you have to decide for yourselves. But these are the issues. Any questions, comments? Yes?
So, like, if we go to the store, like,
every store has a tuda. Every store has a tuda. This is Bayef Gan. In Bayef Gan, almost everything is Mahadran. If you go over here to Supersol, which is not so far away, so the big Rishatot, most of it's Hetter Mechira, the big chains. But again, there are Mahadran chains. Rami Levi has a Rami Levi Mahadran chain. It has a regular Rami Levi. If you go to Osharad, that's a Mahadran chain. So Mahadran meaning Shmita L'Chumra. Everything in Osher Ad, everything is labeled. Every single product. You go to potatoes, so it's shishis. It's hard to believe. I still have stuff from the sixth year. They have like these huge refrigerators, and it doesn't seem so appetizing, but it looks normal. Potatoes that were grown, you know, they were picked, not just grown, because Yurakos are best of Lakita. They were picked before Rosh Hashanah. It's pretty wild. But that's phasing out. At this point, there's very little shishis left, but there's still some. It'll say Chutz Laretz, it'll say Otzer Beis Din, because that in Rav Efrati, they have Otzer Beis Din. If you go to a regular Badatz place, it'll just be Nochri, and they won't tell you anything. Every place has a Tuda, and on the Tuda, there, it should say. If it doesn't say, there'll be a phone number you can call and find out. Mahadran is a very sticky word, because yeah. Mahadran, look, go to Efrat, so they think Mahadran means Hetzer Mechira, it's more Mahodr than Bayev Nochri. So somebody from the Badatz will tell you that's not true. So you have to just ask what it is. You know, is it? It's hard to find Kedusha Shvius in any catering. Almost no catering does Kedusha Shvius, because like I said, it's just a pain to deal with the leftovers. But Mahadran doesn't mean very much. You have to ask what the Hashkacha is. I assume that they give out different like symbols. People should know what they are. Rav Miller has a copy. They're different. There are a couple of sheets. You can find the sheets that they'll give out to you. But different Hashkachas. The classic Mahadran Hashkachas are Yuvel Nochri or Chutz Laretz. Other questions, comments? Yes.
What if rogue Jews live in Israel?
Oh, so can we do the Hetter Mechira? I said that we do the Hetter Mechira because it's only Drabanan. So what will happen when Shemitah is Daraisa? So it's not so clear if Rov Yisrael is going to make a Daraisa. It could be you need call Yisrael. You need everybody in their own Shevet, in their own place. Even if Shemitah will be Daraisa, I assume, and if you assumed Rov Yisrael will make a Daraisa, I assume they'll continue with the Hetter Mechira. Like I said, we do Hetter Mechira's Chametz, and we're going to do a Prusbul very soon. Prusbul is the end of Shemitah, right? Shemitah's because off him. So it's, oh, that's Takana of Chazal, I'm saying. So this is in that same vein. There's a lot of politics involved, and also halachic issues. I'm not minimizing halachic issues. There are legitimate halachic issues. But in the end of the day, Favadi writes, he was a big proponent of the Hetter Mechira. And even though it's interesting, because his children have a Hashkacha, Beit Yosef. And they are competing with other Mahadran Hashkachas. So now they became Shmita L'Chumra, and they don't have any Hetter Mechira. Even though Rav Avadia was like very into Hetter Mechira, he writes, he has a long tshuva, where he writes that there are like 15 Shitas in the Rishonim of southern France, in Provence, who hold the Shmita B'Zman Hazeh, it's just the Midas Chassidus. So he writes, even if you didn't have a Hetter Mechira, it was a Shas of Chak, you could be Mekel, which is a pretty wild thing to say, right? So in his later years, he had this letter he wrote that Bnei Torah should be machmir to buy chutz laretz, which chutz laretz has very few downsides. Again, there's the issue of the moral issue in terms of boycotting Jewish farmers. But then people turn that into Rav Yehuda saying Shabbat Yevul Nochri, which isn't really true. So there's a lot of politics. In the end of the day, these are the options: Chutz Laaretz, Otzer Beis Din, Yevul Nochri, and Heter Mechira. And like I said, everybody has to speak to their rebbeim, try to figure out what makes sense for them. And you can decide that everything makes sense for yourself. You can decide only one thing makes sense. Here they're serving Yevul Nochri. So if you want to be anti Yevul Nochri, I suggest that you begin that chumrah after the summer, because you're not going to want to eat in the summer. But again, a person might say, ideally I won't eat this, but I'm going to eat this when I'm served it or the like. And I think that's legitimate. Kavod Brios is a very important halachic factor. Again, different folks may have different approaches to this. It's a difference, I think, between what you purchase on your own and what you're served. You know, with somebody's house, I think that's important, not to embarrass somebody. That's a halachic value. And how to weigh that is a very complicated question. Question? Yes?
I don't know if this has to do with Shemitah, but like, let's say if you just see fruit growing, like, what's the story?
Oh, the fruit on campus. The fruit on campus. During Shemitah, fruit is hefker. So the fruit on campus, you're allowed to eat. You don't have to take up tumas and masros. You just eat it, wash it. Rav Kook had a chumrah to wash his hands before. Again, if the fruit is wet, we hold the halacha. If you eat wet fruit, you're supposed to wash your hands. Most people just eat dry fruit, so it's not an issue. But if the fruit is wet, you should wash your hands, and without a bracha, of course, and eat it. And it, according to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah perish viz. If you're go into a guy's field, it's a heter mechira field, so you're stealing because he sold it to a guy. So for he's, you know, so you can't take it. It's nishmar, meaning he holds it's mutter, be nishmar. But if you had a field that you didn't sell to goy, but you didn't let anybody in, that would be isra of nishmar. And we hold the b'di'evan nishmar is kosher anyway. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't eat that fruit. Yes.
So you know those fields that say kan shomer shmita.
Kan shomer shmita. Yes.
How many of them are actually like leaving their fields fallow, and how many are like selling it and just using heter mechira? Or does that actually mean they're
if it says kancha mishuvita, that means they're not relying on the heter mechira. There was a strong push from the Keren HaShviyas. They used to raise money to help the farmers, so to help the farmers keep shvita if they want to. Mm-hmm. Now most farmers are happy to take a year off, so they're offering to pay them taking a year off, so that means that with a field they generally work, it doesn't even necessarily mean they're from. Some of them aren't from, but they're keeping Shemitah, which is a beautiful thing. Certain heter mechira is actually necessary for certain types of farmers. So if you have like a specialty item that you're selling to Chutz Laaretz, so 6 years you sell it, oh, this year I'm not selling it, they're going to find a new supplier, you're never going to get that customer back. So for local markets, people want to take a year off and have a chance to, you know, contemplate the Kadosh Baruch Hu and work on their Emunah Bitachon, and that's wonderful. Rav Weitman is the Rav of Tenuva. So he wrote an article at the beginning of Shemitah. He pointed that in Israel there were a lot of skarim. There were a lot of lockdowns because of COVID at the beginning, in contrast to America where everything kind of went wild. We were very, very careful at the beginning. And they closed down the country for weeks. So Rav Weitman did a chishuv. He did a calculation. He said, listen, the amount of money we lost for this, in 5 days, we wanted to help all the farmers keep Shemitah. If it was a national interest. We have an interest. We want to have everybody keep Shemitah so they can, you know, give money to all the farmers and we'll be able to deal with the fallout, of the financial fallout. But there isn't, unfortunately, at this point in history, an interest in that. So he's not so into Heter Mechira, but he says he actually pushed out their bezin for many years, but then they lost a lot of money. Tenuva lost a lot of money. Tenuva won Shemitah, I'm not sure if it was 2 Shemitahs or 3 Shemitahs ago. Tenuva pushed, based on Weitman, Otzer Beis Din. But the problem was a lot of people didn't want to buy Otzer Beis Din because, oh, I deal with Ketusha, it's too complicated, or they were worried about this chumra, that chumra. So Tenuva lost millions of shekel. So they stopped with Otzer Beis Din, and now he pushes Heter Mechira, and it's the only option. You know, even though halachically he thinks Otzer Beis Din is the best option, you need Rabbanim and consumers who are willing to back him, and consumers are willing to purchase it. And there aren't, unfortunately, enough people who are willing to work with that. So at this point he tells the farmers to do Heter Mechira, even though he thinks it's not the best option, halakhically speaking, but he thinks it's legitimate. Once it's legitimate, that's their only option, so it's a shasat chak. But like I said, there's a lot of politics mixed into this, so to kind of weed away the politics and figure out the pure halakha is a challenge. But like I said, Shemitah is an opportunity to think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, to work on our Amun and Bitachon, and we should be zocha to have a good summer. You should guys have a tzatzlacha in your studies, and you should enjoy it, to feel the Kedusha Saris, not just feel it, but even consume it. It affects our body. Thank you.
Thank you.